Okay, off we go.
Excellent. So today we're pleased to work with Seventh Wave and Planet Zulon for the production of these podcasts, all of which will be available on www.seventhairwave.com, as well as the BMMS website, www.thebmms.co.uk. I look forward to your comments on the podcast and the Science Day in general. A more detailed report will be published on the Surviving the Death Zone in due course. So I'll introduce myself. My name is John Naylor. I'm a consultant in respiratory and general medicine. I work for the Royal Air Force. That's my medical background, but really I'm a mountaineer. I've been climbing since the age of 16. I'm a rock climber. As my rock climbing skills have got worse, I've got more into mountaineering. I've had expeditions in Bolivia and the Himalayas. Next year I hope to climb Broad Peak with the military. So I'm here today with Dr. Chris Boos. Chris, perhaps you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yes, I'm Christopher Boos. I'm a consultant cardiologist at Poole Hospital and Royal Bournemouth Hospitals in the South Coast. I'm a visiting professor at Leeds Beckett University, and I'm ex-forces and currently work as a civilian consultant advisor in cardiology to the armed forces.
Fantastic. Yeah, so although you work for the opposite team, or you did in the army, and I work for the Air Force, we've known each other quite a long time, haven't we, Chris, through our military work?
Many years, and I'm trying to remember, you may have well have taken over from me in Iraq, or I took over from you.
I think
actually.
Did, yes.
You just come back from a run, I think.
Yes.
You were training for the, was it Marathon des Sables?
I was training for Marathon des Sables, yes.
That's
yes,
right.
And we've been on a few expeditions together. Most notably, I think, was the trip to Bolivia, which was a military medical services expedition, wasn't it? And in fact, you presented some data from that.
Yeah, so I was more distant role in that, in the sense that we sent two people from Poole Hospital, cardiac physiologists, to take part in some of the cardiac aspects of the high altitude research. It looked an interesting trip, I have to say, and you're obviously part of a case report that got published.
Yes, exactly, yes.
It was really nice in terms of simulating some of the science behind acute mountain sickness and high altitude pulmonary edema. Mm.
Yeah, so we're here today at the BMMS Science Day in Bamford. So we've just finished the morning session, which I thought was fantastic. We've had four brilliant speeches, and you had the plum spot of opening the day. How do you feel it went for you today?
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I arrived very late last night, staying in Airbnb, found my way through into a cottage, and I have to say, it's remarkable how much colder it is than Poole Hospital, but I've thoroughly enjoyed the morning. And it was really nice to get the opportunity to present what, for me, has been 7 to 8 year journey of high altitude research. Because I started in 2011, having prior to that only done some recreational trekking. And in 6 or 7 short years, I'm fortunate to be part of at least 3 or 4 high altitude expeditions. And at a distance, another 3 or 4 more. Answering a lot of cardiac issues that have been really circulating in my mind with a lot of colleagues. And so it was nice to be given the opportunity. This is the first time I've ever had a chance to do it, to really present what is my short lifetime of research in this field.
Yeah, I thought it was very well received. And it's interesting to hear that you've recently been awarded your PhD in this field, and that one of your PhD Viva professors was sat in the audience here today. I bet that was fun to see him again in a different environment.
Yeah, he was very nice. I won't name any names, but he was extremely nice to me, actually. And it was nice to... Because when the PhD ended, I didn't get a whole bunch of time to talk to him afterwards. In fact, he said to me today, he felt, how was it for me? And I said, I thoroughly enjoyed our 3-hour PhD Viva. But he said at the end, we all just left. It'd be nice. Normally, you chat afterwards, etc.
Maybe so go and have a beer afterwards.
Yeah, maybe. it was nice to chat to him again.
Yeah, fantastic. So I thought some really interesting points in your talk today was how much easier it is perhaps nowadays to do research in the mountain environment than perhaps it was in the days of the Silver Hut expedition, or even more recent expeditions. Can you just sort of touch on a couple of those developments?
Yes. One of the core parts of my research, a central tenet of perhaps all the research I've been involved with, is the portability of equipment and what a modern bit of equipment can do versus equipment only 8 years ago. It has transformed our ability to do research. A good example is I'm a cardiologist. I do a lot of echocardiography. Portable echocardiography has only really been around for 10 years, and already we've seen miniaturization of devices such that a current portable device that I use now has superior power tenfold to what a device that was a mainstream standalone mains powered equipment from 20 years ago. So it now means that you can analyze a heart right on the edge of a mountain at 5,500 meters, and certainly enough to run off battery to at least do two scans. And with solar power being what it is, and generate portable generators, you are now able to bring the cardiology research lab right to the edge of the mountain. And that not only is in terms of echocardiography, it's in terms of heart rhythm analysis. In 2011, I used six or eight ECG machines, portable ambulatory monitors, which had long dangly cables attached. Every night I had to upload the data. There was lots of interference from the cables, so it was difficult at times to determine what was a rhythm abnormality versus artifact. Yeah. People took them off during their sleep. They didn't like them. To being able to implant a device the size of a AAA battery, half the AAA battery, that can record a heart for up to 3 years. Mm. And most notably, a year and a half ago, a patch that is no bigger than a sticky plaster that could be on for 2 weeks that is able to record a degree of cardiac activity, which has transformed things because it's less invasive and is able to give us a huge insight into what's going on to people's hearts at night while they're asleep or while they're trekking.
So we're now able to get huge amounts of data on research expeditions. Is that fair? I mean, I'm presuming there's a huge amount of extra time for you to analyse it afterwards.
It's our biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons why someone like myself, who's a clinical cardiologist, is able to keep doing altitude research. Because you can go on XBED that you plan for some time, you do a 3 to 6 weeks punchy research project, and you then have 3 to 4 years worth of data, which you slowly work your way through. And I was interested in a study today that was conducted in 2003.
Yes.
That's published in 2019. Yes. And we're still seeing publications from Caldwell Extreme Everest.
Yes.
From more than 10 years ago. And I suspect it'll be the same for me and for projects I've been part of. There is so much data being amassed now, and with cloud-based features, you're able to store it and look at it, and it's basically going to keep you going for a long period of time.
It's going to keep you in after-dinner speeches for a long time.
Well, I'm not sure if that's my thing, actually, John. I'm not sure about that. You're the one who's going to be doing after-dinner speeches, because you've obviously been rescued off mountains and things like that.
Oh, yes, so the real-life experience. I mean, that brings me on to that point, I think, because we listen to a lot of science today, but for most of us who are in the practical field of life, either in expedition or in medicine, it's the applicability of lab-based or research-based science into, you know, advice to people going to altitude or how to manage sickness in the field. Have you got any sort of key points from the sort of 7 or 8 years of data that you've managed to analyse so far that is transferable or applicable in that field?
Yes, I think so. Well, first of all, we know that low oxygen levels at altitude causes the pulmonary arteries to vasoconstrict. You get increased right-sided heart pressures. The question was, are you damaging the heart in conventional senses on the left side, the left ventricle? And the data I've been involved with basically shows the heart copes remarkably well at altitude up to about 5,500 meters. My research hasn't gone considerably higher than that in terms of cardiac function. But whilst you feel terrible, you're at increased risk of acute mountain sickness and altitude pulmonary edema, which you clearly need to treat and get out of that environment. For most other people, the heart copes extremely well at high altitude. Mm-hmm. And you do not see hormone levels in the range of that seen with heart failure. You do not see cardiac markers in the realms of what you see with heart attacks at high altitude. And in terms of cardiac function, the heart contracts well. There are some minor changes in relaxation, but that's not unsurprising because you're dehydrated, you're exhausted. But overall, to me, this isn't a picture of a failing heart story at high altitude. Mm. Providing you take the right precautions and you're sensible, you should not come to harm.
That's very reassuring, isn't it, for the
average very much so.
Mountaineer, walker, skier, knowing that they're not putting themselves at risk, at least with respect to the heart.
Very much so, and providing you're sensible. Now, what this data doesn't do is, to be clear, is that these are people, most of my research have been on healthy hearts going to high altitude. The data in terms of what you do if you've had a heart attack, you've fully recovered from that injury, you've got two stents, for example, in your left anterior descending coronary artery, and you're going to high altitude. We haven't included that type of data set, but still, translationally, you would think, providing you have the right precautions and you're sensible, you don't stop your cardiac medication, again, you shouldn't come to harm, providing you don't have limiting symptoms at sea level and you're sensible, and you listen to your body at altitude. You should cope well.
So again, useful for practitioners out there advising clients. More and more people of that category are wanting to go and explore high altitude areas.
Very much so.
Take these kind of holidays.
And don't forget, as we know, the high altitude environment is stunning. Over 2 million people live at high altitude, or is it 200 million actually? I think it's 200 million. And we all want to go and visit them and see their lovely cultures and be part of the walking in the mountains. And that translates to multiple millions of people every year of all walks of life. We're seeing 80-year-olds now going on the Everest trek. And with that comes pathology that is being translated into high altitude environment. Again, providing we're smart, sensible, take the right precautions, hydrate well, we should be okay.
Good stuff. So what's next, Chris? What's next for you and your research?
My research is now moving more into remote and sensible monitoring of cardiac activity. So that is now perhaps recently using into patch technology, mm-hmm. which is transforming research now, where you don't have to wear electrodes clipped to your chest all over the place. There are multiple companies using patch technology that basically sticks onto your chest from anything from 5 days to up to 2 to 4 weeks. And I'm very keen to look at that technology transferred into the extreme high altitude environment. And secondly, to look at predictors of acute mountain sickness, because where we are now, there still is not a good predictor, and maybe there won't ever be, we shall see, of trying to figure out. Somebody at sea level says, I want to go and do Everest Base Camp. What are my chances? Is there anything that can help predict your future risk? And I think that is enormous growth area, that even if you could give probability assessments and ways to try and address that risk, to manage it, that would be extremely important. The other area of interest for me beyond the altitude is looking at multiply injured people from the Afghan and Iraq wars who've had multiple amputations or single amputations, what their cardiovascular risk is going forward. And that is translating to high altitude environment as well, because we're seeing these amputees doing remarkable feats,
yes.
climbing mountains that I can't climb with my two legs.
Fantastic. So really exciting times ahead and fertile ground for other researchers, I think. You mentioned at the very end of your talk, I think a PhD project in your department, is that right?
Yes, so we are looking at now heart rate variability, which is looking at the fluctuations in heart rate, and it's the gaps between each beat as predictors of cardiovascular disease, and also using it to give insight into the autonomic nervous system. If you interrogate simple inter-heart beats, the gaps between each beat of the heart, people who are not very fit, their heart beats at a very regular basis. People who are more fit, at lower cardiovascular risk, have multiple undulations. Their heart rate increases mm-hmm. and declines on a serial basis, and that puts them at perhaps an advantage. I'm very interested into how that research can translate into high altitude environments and also to the injured from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Fantastic. So interested parties to contact you.
Hopefully, and if anybody's looking to do a research in heart rate variability, please contact me, because I have a fully funded PhD ready to start in April next year.
Fantastic, and I'm sure your contact details will be on the BMMS website if
yes,
you're
it
interested.
Is.
Chris, it's been really fantastic seeing you again.
And it's lovely to see you again, John.
Thank you.
It's been a little while.
It has. We mustn't leave it so long next time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.